Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting you ready for another Maryland Crab Cake tour soon. I don't have any lottery tickets with me. I'm on the road. If you've been following me, you know I'm out chasing balloons on the West Coast for my birthday. Was not expecting a WNST text earlier this week with a trade of Adafi Owe. Luke Jones joins us now. He is back at the Homestead. He is out at Owings Mills covering all things 1-4, and the sky is falling, and Lamar's still not practicing, and the Rams are coming to 10. And by the way, I'm two time zones away, Luke. My understanding is the weather's not going to be real good on Sunday for game day either.
Yeah, that's the early sign as we get closer and closer to Sunday. But I mean, maybe it's appropriate considering you're talking about a 1-4 football team that, let's face it, I think most people expect to be 1-5, assuming we're not going to see Lamar Jackson and Marlon Humphrey and Roquan Smith and Chidobe Awuzie and Patrick Ricard. Kyle Hamilton's practicing. That's good to see. Has a couple new options on the back end of the defense, with the Ravens, as you mentioned, having traded Adafi Owe and acquiring Alohi. Sounds like Haloti, Alohi Gilman, who once upon a time was actually Kyle Hamilton's teammate at Notre Dame. You know, he's a few years older than Hamilton. He knew
Tony
Kyle Hamilton.
Jefferson has a link to him too, right? I
Yeah,
saw
yeah. I
that.
mean, certainly he's vetted in terms of the Ravens having some familiarity that they're bringing in a quality individual into the building. But hey, we go back to mid-May, right? Actually, go back to the draft, right? They drafted Malachi Starks. What did you hear me talking about with their defense? They can get back to three safety looks. You can get back to playing Kyle Hamilton closer to the line of scrimmage. A few weeks later, Ardarius Washington tears his Achilles, right? And you heard me from mid-May until recently. I think I even probably mentioned it at least in the last week or two, questioning why this team doesn't have another veteran safety that would allow them to play more three safety looks and get Kyle Hamilton back into that hybrid nickel, dime, linebacker, occasionally lining up as an edge rusher because he can blitz, like that hybrid role that he thrived in really the first 2.5 years of his career until they had the issues last year with Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson where they had to pivot. So now one can certainly debate whether they truly needed to trade Adafi Owe to get a player like that in the building. But we've also talked about the fact that Owe was making $13 million, and I don't know what play stands out that he had made over the first 5 games. I mean, it's the reality of
I
it,
mean, I
man.
go back 5 seasons and I'm like, I just,
Sure. I mean,
I, it's not that I'm not a fan or that I wasn't into the project part of this. And this is, where the detractors of Eric DaCosta, and I see you out there, Joe Enoch, would say, this is a failed draft pick that cost a lot of money that they put onto the field and sort of got out of the way in off seasons of trying to do better than Kyle Van Noy or than and listen with Clowney, they hit gold for the 5 minutes they hit gold with a former 1-1 overall,
Yeah.
but that position was always his to sort of work into, get paid here, be that guy here, be what Za'Darius Smith was or some other guys that got away. I don't know. I never smelled it. Never. I never smelled it. Not even for a minute did I ever open this microphone and say, "Hey, always coming on. I'm noticing him." And this was with a really good team over several years where they
Right.
won 12, 13, 14 games. I just, am I shocked that they dealt? I mean, I don't know. It's Eric's up on these kinds of things, as is George and the people in their building, that they can identify and make a deal. Obviously, it helps when Harbaugh's brother is the coach and when Ortiz is, they don't have to call out of family to make this kind of deal. But
Sure.
it is a weird little in-family deal for a 1-4 football team that is desperate. They're desperate. Don't tell John I said that, but there is some real desperation about where this season's going right now, right?
I mean, there better be, right? I mean, if you're just sitting there saying, "Oh, well, we're 1-4, probably gonna be 1-5, we'll be fine," like no, that and I'm the guy that will continue to say that the season's not over, in the sense that you look at the post-bye schedule, you look at their list of injuries. Matabike is the only guy that's out for the year.
Can they
Like
get to
I'll
six and
hear all
six?
that,
Can they get to 7-7? That's
right?
really the
I'll
question at
hear
this
all
point,
that,
right? Yeah.
but that's why you need to have desperation here. That's why, I mean, I think this deal is interesting from the standpoint of, it's kind of like one of those, what's it called, a Rorschach test, where, some people right away said, oh my gosh, the Ravens are selling. And other people were like, well, Owe wasn't living up to a $13 million salary anyway. You weren't going to sign him to a long-term deal anyway. Whatever your comp pick was potentially going to be probably wasn't going to be much better than what you get, the draft pick you got in this deal. Plus, taking into account it would be another year later that you would get that comp pick. So, and there's also the factor that you clear $7 or $8 million of salary cap space. Could you use that to go make a bigger move between now and the trade deadline, which is still, close, it's a little under a month away. It's November 4th, so there's still some time to do that. Or if you lose and you come out after the bye week, and not saying you lose to the Bears, but let's say, heaven forbid, you have a couple more injuries that are notable, and you just start looking at this thing and saying, it's not our year. You come to that realization in late October, let's say, then maybe it is the first part of a mini sell-off in terms of, like, okay, what could you get from Mark Andrews, for example, right? So I think this could go different directions, but just to go back to Owe, look, do I think he was a bust in the way that we talk about Kyle Bowler being a bust or Matt Elam being a bust? No. Did he live up to the potential that they were all excited about him fulfilling when they drafted him? Of course not, right? And I think this is where we also need to recognize not all first round picks are created equally. I mean, he was picked 31st, right? I mean, he was a couple slots away from being called a second round pick.
Well, don't tell
So,
Lamar that.
sure. Well, but my point is, I'm not going to sit here and say that I love, that it turned out to be a great pick or anything like that. But it also wasn't a disaster. He was fine. He had his, you know, he had his. I think what's disappointing, and yes, he had the 10 sack season last year, but if I think back to the best Odafe Owe moment in his four plus seasons, four seasons and then five games into a fifth, I'd go back to his rookie year and the forced fumble he had in that Chiefs Sunday night game, right? I mean, he go back and look at his
That
first five
flashed
or
the potential we're talking
yeah,
about, right?
go back and look at his first five or six games of his rookie year. I think there was so much excitement at that point in time, not necessarily that he's going to be the next Terrell Suggs, but this was going to be an impact edge rusher for them. And that just never materialized. And I think what was telling, and even though certainly, don't get me wrong, I certainly made no mention on Monday or Tuesday as we were kind of dealing with the fallout of this awful loss to the Texans. But if you looked at how his playing time was trending going back to the second half of last year, it was dropping. I mean, he was playing a career low 45% of their defensive snaps. I think that speaks to not really loving what he was doing against the run. And I think they were doing this, and they started doing this the second half of last year to try to see if they could draw out of him more of this pass rush specialist kind of role, where it's like, hey, if you're only playing 30 snaps a game, man, if we get a heck of a pass rush from you in those 30 snaps that are going to be second and long and third downs, then we'll take that. I mean, there are guys in the Hall of Fame that spent a large portion of their career kind of as a pass rush specialist, but that didn't really, it didn't materialize. So I
I think
think
it's been harder with Matt Ibike there too.
oh, no doubt. I mean, that's hurt them.
The
It
line getting
has.
pushed around in general has
Yeah.
put more pressure on Roquan, more pressure on any veteran out
Sure.
there that's not in the interior three or four, based on how they're playing up front. Because when they're getting pushed around like that, it doesn't make Buchanan or any of the rest of these guys better either. It really doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a mess. I mean, I don't know what other way to put it. You go back and watch the game, and you know this. I'll go back and watch a game, at least rewatch it once, many times twice. And there are times where I'll look at games, even losses, even some of these fourth quarter collapses that they've had in recent years, and I'll go back and look, and I'll say, okay, I thought that was really bad, but that probably wasn't as bad. That was a little bit better than I thought. This phase of the game maybe wasn't. I went back and looked, rewatched it. I felt no better rewatching it. I mean, you look at their defensive front, whether we're talking about their edge guys, including Owe for that matter, or their defensive tackles, they're a blocker's engaging and they're just being stonewalled, right? No one's getting pushed. They're not stopping the run. The run defense on Sunday against Houston maybe wasn't quite as awful as I thought it was, from beginning to end, but it wasn't good. Like, let's be clear. Like, when I'm saying that, that's like damning them with some very faint
It
praise.
also
The
wasn't Laremy Tunsil out there running around either, right?
correct, correct. I mean, Houston doesn't have a great running game. So we talked about this. So what happens with this move? Look, do I think Alohi Gilman's going to be this dynamic, sensational Roquan Smith kind of Marcus Peters kind of acquisition for them in the way that you thought about those deals in season? No, but if he can give them some steady play, playing a deep safety, maybe ease some of the pressure on Malachi Starks a little bit, who even admitted on Wednesday that there's times when he's still thinking too much out there. But you have those two playing more of the deep safety role, and then you can put Hamilton at the nickel. You can put Hamilton at the dime. You can just move him around a little more because they need some splash plays here. Look.
Where's Marlon in all of this?
Well, I mean, he's not going to play until after the bye, but I think based on what they're doing and what they've done at safety, and keep in mind, they also added C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who is a Super Bowl champion with the Eagles. He's on their practice squad. Where does he fit in? We'll see. I'm not quite as convinced that that's going to be a long-term partnership. For one, he was just dismissed by the Houston Texans 3 weeks ago because he wasn't happy with his role, and he's kind of hot and cold personality. So we'll see how that works out. But when
Boy,
you're
they
in a
don't mind
position,
taking that on, do they?
well, I mean, you're so desperate for production, right? I mean, you're so desperate to find people that can make plays. I mean, it can't get any worse. They're on pace to give up the most points in NFL history in a single season. I mean,
Oh, say
this
that
is
again.
they're on pace to give up the most points in NFL history in a
And they're
single season.
injured, and they're
Yeah.
bad, and
So
they're trying.
you've got to
Yeah.
try some things. Like, even if,
And I
yeah.
admiration for that. They're trying. They're not throwing the
I mean,
season in.
the OA move. I mean, people will say, well, they're already desperate for pass rush. Well, what was he giving you? He was collecting a big paycheck every week. What was he really giving you? So I would say I certainly hope that the money saved on OA, if in fact the Ravens can turn this around to the point where we're not talking about them being completely irrelevant in the second half of the season, that they can at least be in the mix here, in the way that even how the Bengals were last year, right? They didn't make the playoffs, but they were still interesting at the end of the season. But in order to do that, you're going to have to make a move here, whether it's an edge guy, whether it's a defensive tackle with the thought that Matt Ibike's career might be over. Like, I don't know that, but when you're talking in these terms, he may never play football again. So some of this is not just for 2025, but what is going to potentially be out there that you could acquire that can help you not just the rest of this year, but next year moving forward. So, can this saved cap space help you do that? I don't know. We're going to find out. Or this might be the splashiest move they make, and if they lose Sunday, come out of the bye and drop one or two of those road, they have three straight road games after the Bears game. They drop a couple of those, then yeah, the season's kind of shot at that point, right? I mean, that then you are talking about, even though that would be just past the trade deadline, I suppose, but you'll have an idea of whether this thing is looking any better whatsoever,
By the
right? I
way,
mean,
when Owe went spitting on them on Wednesday after they dealt him out in LA, I was kind of shocked by that, and also saying he must have been a little malcontented to
yeah.
have spice on his tongue being dealt out of a 1-4 into a place that wants him, into a place where he's gonna be relevant and
Yeah.
have that fresh start that he wanted to have anyway, because he knew they weren't signing him. So
Right.
there is a point where, I mean, you're a reporter out there, and I don't need to tell you about Chad Steele and like what they want in the paper and what they want on the internet and what they don't, but behind closed doors, it must have been an easy deal for them to make, for him to be salty
Yeah.
about kind of going somewhere else with another chance. It says to me that, hey, dude, we're paying you $13 million. We were expecting A, we got B, we made you kind of a rich guy. You won a lot of games here. That
Yeah.
shocked me. That
Yeah.
shocked me, because usually the narrative is, and I know better, is that Owings Mills is paradise and it's the place everybody wants to play, and everybody, and I mean, there's a long history going back to Trevor Price and even McCrary and Goose and guys at Woodson coming here 30 years ago and saying, I like to be in Baltimore, but it's not for everybody. And Owe was, listen, I'm not making excuses for how he played. We've been through that. But
Sure.
the fact that if he's if there was problems to get rid of him, that he was happy to be dealt out. That doesn't speak well about the whole thing, especially when he was a guy they paid $13 million to, and they said, "We're not bringing Clowney back. Van Noy's going to be, we're going to have an old guy next to you. You're the guy. We're going to let you be the guy." I think they went out of their way for him a little bit, and to get peed on the way out. Look, it's one thing for me to pee on John Harbaugh. He's done things to me. Wait, I was shocked to hear that. I really was.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the comments. I mean, I didn't see anything overly it's not like he said he hated the Ravens,
Well,
like,
sort of happy
that,
to be out of here
but
kind of thought.
yeah. Well,
And you don't
and I,
hear that a whole lot from Ravens
sure.
players. You
But
just don't.
I also think, I mean, it's also the reality of the business, right? I mean, there were some contract discussions in the off seasons, extensions, and they didn't get far. Clearly his opinion and his agent and their thought of what his value was did not align
It
whatsoever
reminds
when.
me of that tackle that went to Carolina. Who was the guy, the offensive lineman that thought he was,
You talking about Bradley Bozeman? Okay. Yeah.
Bozeman thought he was gonna get an $80
Yeah,
million
yeah.
dollar deal here and
And he
whatever.
never got that anywhere, right? I
And he,
mean,
well, right, yeah.
he's still banging around, still playing in the league, but he's not, not that guy.
They looked at
But
him as just a
so
guy, and I think, oh, wait, they've come to the grand conclusion he's just a guy.
I yeah. Well, and you did hear me say over and over and over this offseason that I didn't think they wanted to marry him, certainly at the price that he thought he was going to get or what the market might
Well, if
dictate.
he had
I mean,
six sacks right now and they're four
so,
and one and not one and four,
they
it'd
wouldn't have
be good.
traded him, right? They wouldn't have traded him
Well,
if he
I
had
guess
six
that
sacks
speaks to
right
my
now.
point
Yeah,
where winning
sure.
makes guys happy, losing makes
Sure.
them unhappy.
No
Everybody in the
doubt.
building's unhappy right now.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
of course. I mean, if you weren't unhappy right now, I'd be questioning, where are you?
Well,
Like,
the other
what's
part
under
of
your
this is
hood?
they get sat
But
every day and they have to watch themselves play.
no
As much as
doubt.
we watch them once a week on Sunday and you watch them two or three times and you bitch about them, we sit here talk all week.
And
They have to sit and watch that steamer from Sunday over and over again all week long.
I'm holding up my phone right now. This is a very online generation that we're talking about when you're talking about guys in their early and mid and late 20s.
You suck. You suck. Here's the
I mean,
play. You suck.
that's all
Here
you
it is
see.
again. Right.
I mean,
Yeah.
I don't, that's where I have some empathy. Like, how do you guys deal with that? Like, get off of that stuff during the season. I mean, I don't know. I hate borrowing the Nick Saban rat poison line because, he was more referring to the media in that standpoint. But you want to talk about rat poison, it's, and I don't mean fans that have good, normal intentions and are just disappointed right now. I mean those that get personal and really nasty, which, there's,
Well, when the
you know,
Ravens lose the way they do on Sunday, I get hate mail. I
it's
had
ugly.
unusual hate
It's
mail
ugly.
Sunday night because these jackwagons have nothing else to do when they're drunk and they lost a bet, on Sunday night, other than to go up. And I brought that the young man from Buffalo up when Mark Andrews dropped the ball and he raised $164,000 with Bill's
Yeah.
Mafia for juvenile diabetes research and stuff like that. That kid's 19, 20 years old. These young people, they don't know anything normal beyond this nastiness. And I think for the players who are
It's
of that
tough.
age, one in four in that building right
It's
now,
brutal.
it's just been a long time since John Harbaugh has had to look as humbled as he did on Monday. Like literally, you get the temperatures of all of these guys. It's going to be like watching Trump and these criminals once their day's done and they're going behind bars. Losing is just not something that they deal with well in Owings Mills. And I'll say that out loud because they haven't done a lot of it. The Orioles, however, get accustomed to it to some degree. So we kind of feel that around here in some different way, but one in four is just not normal. And I think the trades, the desperation, the fact that Lamar's not playing this week, how empty the stadium got on Sunday, and
Yeah.
how what an awful look. People got down on me about that. Did the fans quit on the players or the players quit on the fans? The stadium was barren in the fourth. I've never
I mean,
seen it like that in
it was
30
a
years.
preseason game.
In
I mean,
30 years, I've never seen it like that. And I would think that stirs Bisciotti up, who went out and made an honorarium to the Boys and Girls Clubs on behalf of that great guy, Dick Cass, who doesn't believe in free speech. I saw that the other day, too. But like they are in an overall damage control when it comes to selling all the seats that they threw you out of in the press box when they want $1,200 a head to go to those games. One in four ain't getting that done. Lamar not playing ain't getting that done. Sort of a poorish kind of community to begin with that they're trying to get big money and trying to squeeze money out and Sashi and all of that. This is not good, and
It's
it's
bad
not
for
good.
everyone, sure.
And people taking money away from the Orioles and thinking like, "Well, I'll go see the Ravens because they're good." All of a sudden, that money might be going to Merriweather Post Pavilion or going to some vacation somewhere else, or coming out to Albuquerque to see the hot air balloon that I
Christmas
would highly
presents
recommend.
for their family, you
Yeah,
know? I mean,
whatever
yeah.
they're going to do. But I'm concerned about where the Ravens are right now in the aftermath of all of this and what the next 10, 12 weeks are going to look like. I would say this: they did make this deal that makes it look like, hey man, we're not giving up. And that's a good message for the fans too, that we're not giving up.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so. I'll continue to say this. I mean, the team that's coming in on Sunday that I think is going to handle the Ravens with the current state in which they find
Even
themselves,
in the
right?
middle of a
Defensively.
hurricane.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the Ravens' path to a victory. To state the obvious, I think you're going to see that with the pundits. And but who knows? It's the NFL. Yes, Kyle Van Noy said it right after the game. I mean, these injuries aren't an excuse for us. Go look at what San Francisco did against the Rams. So, we'll see if the Ravens can have any kind of similar good fortune. But I'll continue to say that you look at the second half schedule, you look at their state of injuries, that they're not all these long-term season-ending injuries. There's a path for this team to get back on track. But man, you've got to start somewhere, right? And does this deal? Is this the first of a couple deals they make? Is this the first move of some shock to the system that, I don't know, does it include a change at coordinator, a change in play calling responsibilities, even if you don't move on from Zach Gore entirely? Does Chuck Pagano get more involved in terms of that role? I don't know. We're going to find out, right? I mean, the bye week's coming right
Where is
after this game.
Pagano, by the way? He's not in the building.
No, he is. He's our secondary coach. Yeah,
I
he's
saw
there every
something
day.
about like he's on calls or something like that, that Harbaugh said. Like it was just a quote that
No,
really threw me out. That's
I
all.
know because I brought this up in the Monday press conference because it was right around this time last year, if you recall, they brought in Dean Pease, right? So I wasn't necessarily saying, are you going to bring Dean Pease back or are you bringing in someone from the outside? But hey, is anything being adjusted here?
Well, the adjustment was they dealt it away for a safety,
Well,
right?
there that came. But I think what you're referencing, obviously I kind of asked. What's Chuck Pagano's level of helping getting this back on track? Because he's a past defensive coordinator, not just here, but he's done it elsewhere. He's a head coach, for goodness sake. So,
And a good
are there,
man, Chuck
right?
Pagano.
Are there any adjustments being made in that way to see what Harbaugh would say? And he happened to, obviously, he said Pagano's very involved. He and Zach are talking a ton, as they would, even if things were going well, right? I mean, he's a secondary coach, but he did volunteer that. They've even had they've had conversations with Dean Pease, who's not in the picture on a daily basis this year like he was last year. But we're going to see. I
When's the
mean,
last time Pagano got in front of the media?
it was August. It
Okay.
was August
I just
and
haven't physically, I don't
yeah.
even know what he looks like right now. They
Yeah,
don't show him on TV.
I mean
They don't,
I mean
like
he's very
literally.
hands-on. I mean, he's coaching the secondary. I mean, I can tell you he walked out to the field with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who they signed to their practice squad, who's
Tell him
very
I said
chatty.
hello if you see him, all right?
Sure,
I'm not
sure,
allowed to talk to Chuck, even though he helped
sure.
save my wife's life.
But it's notable because if you are going to make a move at the bye week, if you're going to make a move at defensive coordinator, I mean, he'd take over, right? I mean, who else would it be? I mean, he's the most logical candidate if you're going to do that. And like I said, even if it's some adjusting of responsibilities. We've also seen coordinators basically be relieved of the play calling duties, but they're still on staff, right? I mean, could they do something like that where they don't want to fire and embarrass Zach Gore, but they say, Chuck's done this. Let's try this. We got to try something different. I don't know. Like, part of this is what does it look like on Sunday? And I don't mean it has to be a win, but my goodness, the opposition has punted twice in the last two games. You've got to get some stops, right? I mean, I'm not expecting you to hold a team to 10 points given the state of the defense, but you got to put up some fight, right? I mean, we've talked about that. I mean, that's what I wrote
Worst
about it.
defense in the history of the NFL,
Yeah, I mean,
like literally.
they're giving up 35 points a game, Nestor. I mean, this is, and obviously it's a different era, but this is 1996 kind of stuff, right? I mean, this is worse than that, and that was really bad. I don't need to tell you that. You lived it. You covered it,
I talked to
but.
Marvin the other day.
Yeah. So, you want to start seeing some things moving in the right direction, right? I mean, I use this line a lot talking about the Orioles, especially the Orioles back in April, May through early June, and you know, they played a little bit better the rest of the way. But I use the term no redeemable qualities. There are no redeemable qualities that this defense is exhibiting right now. I mean, there just aren't. And I get it. It's because some of your best players are hurt, but we've talked about it. Marlon Humphrey wasn't playing well. Roquan Smith wasn't playing well. You know, Kyle Hamilton was, but can you get him back into a hybrid role where he's closer to the line of scrimmage and you try to make a few more splash plays? Can you get a strip sack? You know, can he knock a pass up in the air and it's picked off? I mean, this team has two takeaways in five games. They have six sacks in five games. I mean, and people will say, well, you know, if you take more chances or you blitz more, you do this more, you might give up big plays. Well, they're giving up 35 points a game. What they're doing now certainly isn't working. So maybe you do need to take a few more chances. And all right, you might get burned, but guess what? Is that any worse than death by a thousand paper cuts? You know, which I
Well,
wouldn't say.
Puka Nacua is coming to town. So this is a chance for you to talk about the Rams a little bit. By the way, Luke
Yeah,
Jones is here,
good
Baltimore
luck.
Luke.
Good
I'm on
luck
the road.
with
We're
that.
here. You can find us out on social media. Well, let's talk about the Rams coming
Sure.
in because come Sunday night, we're going to talk about 1-5 in the middle of a hurricane. One way or another, there better be some sort of the ball squirting out, some miracles. I mean, let's talk about Cooper Rush. Let's talk about what are they bringing to the field on Sunday that's going to give them any opportunity to be 2-4?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of said it. I mean, when you mentioned Puka Nacua, who he's got 588 receiving yards already. I mean, he's on pace to do some historic things. I mean, he's fantastic. We saw that a couple years ago when he came in for that game, you know, the overtime game. I mean, God makes some great plays. He one of my favorite players in the league is Puka Nacua because he just I love how he plays. You know, Stafford, for all the talk about his back injury in the preseason, you know, 11 touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean,
Dude,
he's
he's
looked
putting a
okay
Hall of Fame
physically.
thing together here late, isn't he?
I mean, he certainly put it this way. At the end of his run in Detroit, you wouldn't have even like you wouldn't even have brought him up, right? You would have said, okay, statistically, I guess he's all very good, but
He's
nothing
Hall of Philip
overly.
Rivers
You
until he
know, I mean,
won a Super Bowl, right?
he played it
Yeah.
with a lousy team in Detroit most of his career, right? I mean, save for a couple playoff
He had a
teams
Hall of
here and
Fame wide
there.
receiver there, so.
Yeah, he did. No, he was a really good player there. But when you win a Super Bowl, and I mean,
Go to
last year,
LA and do it.
I mean, we talked about it. The Rams gave the Eagles their toughest game on the way to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. So Kyren Williams is a really good running back. Fumble aside, in that San Francisco game, that really hurt them. But oh yeah, they have Davante Adams, right? I mean, you kind of forget about that. That's why I said, as you brought up Puka Nacua, I said, good luck. I don't know what the path is for the Ravens to short of you've got to find a way to get a turnover or two. You've got
Who's
to
on the
find a
field?
way.
Who's not? I mean, of the question marks
I think
in regard to Hamilton's going to play and Ronnie Stanley,
I
right?
think Hamilton's going to play. I mean, we'll see about Ronnie. I mean, Ronnie practiced 2 days last week. Ronnie practiced the Friday before that and tapped out. Not tapped out. That I don't want to make it sound like that. Left the game after two series against Kansas City, right? He's basically missed the last two
Well,
games.
you know, I had Merriman on. Sean Merriman was on 2 weeks ago, and he specifically referenced Stanley because that's what a
Sure.
pass rusher would do and say, all right, he said that as an athlete, you try. Friday's a question mark. Sunday, you go out, you think
Yeah.
you can do it. You get shot up or whatever you do when you go out there, and you see and you feel the speed of it. And within 30 minutes, you're like,
You know. You
And
know.
we saw
Veteran
that with Ronnie
knows.
Stanley a couple years ago in that kickoff game
Oh.
out in Las Vegas when he left the original comeback. And it doesn't bode well at that position for sure. Like, right?
Yeah, and that's another one. I mean, we've talked about it so much with Lamar, as far as, you know, with his injury and, you know, what possess realistically speaking, if the season were on the line this week, would he give it a go? I'm sure he would, right? Like in terms of like if it was week 18 and you had to win or your season's over, of course I would think he'd give it a go. But knowing you have the bye week and that affords you what, 2 extra weeks of rest, basically, or at least 1 extra week of rest, because he would need to practice, you know, going into the Bears game. You know, with Ronnie, with an ankle issue. And you know, knowing his history of ankle injuries and all of that, Can he get himself where he truly feels confident enough to play this week, or does it become, the bye week might be helpful? But I mean, you've got when you're talking about the Rams, you've got Verse. I mean, that's you lining him up on the edge. I mean, what kind of player he's already proven to be at this point? I mean, that's that's not a good matchup if it's Joe Noteboom out there again. I mean, Noteboom struggled mightily in place of Stanley. I mean, he did not give them in my opinion, certainly did not give them a Patrick McCary representative kind of showing, filling in as the backup left tackle. So, I think they really, really want Ronnie out there, but they also need to trust a veteran player that if he's not quite right, if that ankle could really benefit from another 2 weeks, then
Well,
I
that's the
guess,
trick of this week, right? Is that is
yeah.
the guys you're giving off, you're really feeling like 2 weeks from now you're going to get them back, but at 1-5.
Then it's just, it's not over, but I don't need to tell you what that math looks like. It's
Well, in this
statistically
division,
bleak.
we're going to have a different kind of conversation after they lose Sunday because they do play the Steelers twice. And now Joe Flacco's in Cincinnati, so they'll get to see him. That's another thing that happened this week. We haven't even mentioned that because I guess it has no bearing on us, but I guess it does speak to what teams look at Joe Flacco and think he can still do it. I mean, he still throws the ball better than 20 of the quarterbacks in the league. He just can't move.
And I just he can't move, and he goes from the Cleveland offensive line, which isn't good, to the Bengals offensive line, which might be worse, right? I mean, I don't know how that's going to put it this way. And I have all the respect in the world for Joe. I'm very fond. He's one of my favorite athletes I've covered, but I don't think that's going to go well. I mean, I
Oh,
just
yeah,
don't.
I don't either, right? But
That's such a desperation move because Browning was just so bad these last few weeks.
continues my admiration for Joe to continue to go around. He's going to start on
Let's
3 days'
another
notice.
paycheck from somebody.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, that's
he's but not only that paycheck, he's going to go and do what he loves
start
to do, which
games.
is go out and play football, which, they can't take it away from him. I just, it continues his
He's the ultimate.
story in a unique way, really unique way.
He's the ultimate. I mean, you hear about these guys that don't retire. The league retires them. I mean, it's feeling like Joe
Has
is
he
just.
ever done a commercial outside of Mother's or First Mariner Bank where he's like Pittsburgh? Because I mean, I've seen all these
I
backup
don't know.
quarterbacks. Whether who was the backup quarterback that from the Saints that got television commercials a couple years ago? Been on 20 teams, white guy. Now Josh Johnson's getting. If you've been a quarterback on 15 teams, you're an interesting guy to hire for as a
I
spokesperson
mean,
for
I'm sure
some way.
2 years ago, I mean, he just wasn't in Cleveland long enough, but the way he was the toast of the town for
Now,
them,
come
who
on, there
knows?
was a
But
quarterback that was a perennial backup. He'd been on 15 different teams. And he got a television commercial with like like Verizon or somebody gave him a deal. I'm trying to think of who it was. I think he might have been here 3 minutes too, but the perennial
Oh,
backup quarterbacks, Joe's become that guy
I'm
now.
just trying to think of like some of the journeymen that you might be talking about, but
Either way.
I mean, with the Ravens, I mean, if you're 1-5, I don't need to tell you what the math is just to get to 10-7, right? Which, 10-7 feels like the kind of territory that, feels like the minimum you need to be, right? I mean, I don't think the Steelers are going 14-3 this year. I just don't. But you can't expect that they're going to completely fall apart and go 8-9 or 7-10, right? So 10-7, if you're 1-5, I mean, you've got to win 9 of your last 11, right? I mean,
Josh McCown.
there you go.
There you
There you
go.
go.
I got it. I had to
Yeah.
look up the Saints all
I didn't
time.
remember him having a commercial, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, he was around forever, right? But yeah, I mean, you're talking about, if they can't find a way to win this game Sunday and, short of a block kick, turnover, special team score, things like that. I mean, here's a novel concept. You've got Derrick Henry, you have an
Josh
offensive
McCown
line.
did a Verizon commercial because he was demonstrating the failure that requires a backup.
Gotcha. But
Sorry about
yeah, no, it's fine.
that.
But especially if you get Ronnie Stanley back, can you guys run the football? Have you lost all ability to run the football? Because if it's only like
Well, has
if you're
Derrick
only
Henry lost all ability to break tackles, but
well
he's getting
and that's
gang tackled though, right?
well that, yeah I mean I you know me I mean I wasn't the guy that was throwing the parade over signing Derrick Henry, but I don't think he's lost all ability to play football suddenly. I think it's your offensive line stinks right now,
Yeah,
and
but if
as it
Derrick
moved
Henry can
people.
win games with a lousy quarterback and a lousy offensive line, the Titans would have won Super Bowls with him.
Well, but there were times where they won games, and he had big seasons even with their offensive line not being great. But they need to be better than what they've been these last couple of weeks. I mean, they're not moving anyone in the run game.
Well, they
So,
also have to have the ability to scare you to throw the ball in order to make the run game work, and
and
that's not
that's
there.
but that said, you still have talented wide receivers and tight ends. Cooper Rush has won some games in this league. I'm not saying he put up these sterling numbers with the Cowboys, but he did win some
Well,
games.
three picks isn't going to get it done against the Rams and the
Of
rain on
course not.
Sunday.
But that said, I think I'm looking at this. You also have to be realistic of what the optimal conditions are for winning games with Cooper Rush, and it's the rest of your roster playing being mostly healthy and playing well. And they don't have any of that right now, right? So it's tough. I mean, I was the guy trying to give them the benefit of the doubt last week, even with thinking back to 2015 when the Ryan Mallett-led Ravens beat the Steelers, right? When the Steelers were
Well,
on the
you're
way to the
thinking
playoffs.
circling the wagons because this
Yeah.
organization has
And
done that at various points.
there
Yeah.
was no hint of that last week. So
Is
I
there any
can't.
hint of that in practice when you're out there this week? Or, I
I
mean, the
mean,
feeling out of the building to me from the outside, and again, I'm locked out and
yeah.
they let you in, is the temperature doesn't feel, and I don't mean a fan base. I mean, like watching them play in an empty stadium on Sunday, seeing
Oh, it was
35
bad.
points a game, not being able to run the ball, knowing the backup quarterback's playing this week, knowing that they made a deal this week, watching the sort of the temperature of the head coach in regard to the defensive coordinator, in regard to how they're playing. Look, dude, I'm just trying to find
I
anything.
gotcha.
I don't know
Yeah.
what good to say 5 weeks into this to say, is anybody on this team playing at a Pro Bowl level? Is anybody playing for a contract? Is anybody standing out? And even a
It's.
case of Kyle Hamilton didn't get on the field this week, they're going to bring him back. You know, he's not 100%, and they're going to have him apparently freelancing and playing that role that he has excelled at. I don't know. Who on this team do you even look at after 5 hours of football and say, I mean, I can't even judge Tyler Loop or Jordan
Yeah.
Stout, although I did see his girlfriend in the locker room the other day. I don't know who's a plus here. And that goes for coaching, that top down,
Well,
who's doing a good job in this organization right now?
yeah, it's funny because there was just a conversation in the media room the other day about this, just talking to some of the other people that are out there every day. Look, Zay Flowers is having a good year. Lamar until the second half of the Detroit game. I mean, obviously he didn't play well whatsoever in Kansas City. It's not as though Lamar had been bad the first three games of the season by any stretch of the imagination, but it was kind of jarring to think about it in terms of, and we didn't necessarily say who's playing well. There are individuals that have played well, but who is playing better than they did last year? Who is playing as well as they did last year? And that's where I look at this thing and say, okay, Tyler Linderbaum is still playing well overall, but do I think he's playing as well as he did last year? No, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you this, he's got two guards that make him a target,
Right.
right?
And I'm just using him as an example of someone that I would say, like, Linderbaum hasn't been bad this year. But has he been the best version of himself so far this year? No. So you go down the list on either side of the ball, and we struggled. There wasn't anyone definitively that I would say, yes, that guy is better than he was last year. And I'm not counting, like, obviously rookies weren't here last year, so there's nothing you could say. There's no standard to base that off of. But, you know, maybe, I mean, Zay Flowers has been really good, right? Hopkins has been as good, if not better, than they could
I've
have
noticed him for
anticipated.
sure. He's
Although
noticeable.
I would even say with that, at what cost? Rashad Bateman has now completely disappeared from the offense. And like, has there been that much of a net positive? Like, when you look at that, considering you threw $5 million there that maybe you could have thrown somewhere else at some
Well,
of these
also
other,
the tight
you
end
know.
position and what a binky that has always been
Yeah.
for Lamar in
I mean, those
regard
guys
to.
haven't done much,
Yeah,
right? I
you'd
mean,
like to see 10 or 12 receptions a game out of your tight ends, like in this
and
offense, right? If
yeah,
you're going to be successful.
and they haven't gotten that from Andrews. You know, he had one good game Or one more productive game, a couple games where he was completely absent, and likely he's just gotten back to the field the last couple weeks. Stood out for two pre-snap penalties, two penalties in Sunday's game. So yeah, to not belabor your point, but you brought it up. It's tough. It's a struggle right now to identify who has taken a step forward. I would say I'll give you one. Now he didn't play particularly well against Houston. I thought Nate Wiggins over the first four games was really starting to look like he, at least to me, not saying like an all pro or anything like that, but it looked like, okay, he's taking the next step, because he was kind of one of the very few bright spots the first few weeks of their defense. But he didn't play well against Houston.
Well, you give him 35
So,
points a game. There's no bright
I mean,
spots
no
here.
one's playing well. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, but yeah, that's where you look at this thing and it's just like, show me some signs. Even if you lose on Sunday, which I think they're going to, but can two or three things happen over the course of that game that, one, makes it so you don't lose by 34 points again, and two, are some things that you can identify as positives going into the bye week? And maybe it is Kyle Hamilton playing more of a nickel hybrid role, and he blitzes off the edge and sacks Stafford at some point, or he forces a fumble, picks off a pass, has two tackles for a loss, right? And I'm not saying like all three or four of those things, but give me a couple of those things. Show me a couple signs of, hey, they've got that. Hamilton, they've got him back in that.
Well, defensive impact play is all we're talking about, and we haven't
Sure.
had a whole lot of that.
So
And they don't take the
that's,
ball away.
just show me something. Show me some signs of a pulse, right? Don't go out there and just be punchless again in every phase and lose by four touchdowns. Can you lose by seven? Can you lose by 10? And I don't mean that like, I just mean like the end product. Can it look like something that's more representative? Just put up some fight, for goodness sake. I mean, that was the biggest thing that was just so deflating to me watching that football game was, I mean, they from Jump Street looked like they had zero confidence that they could win that football game. And I get it. You've got some of your best players hurt. I understand that. But my goodness, show some fight. Show some pride in front of your home crowd. Do some things out there. Make some plays. Get a couple stops on defense at least. Offense, run the freaking football. If you could do those things, then maybe they could find a way in some bad weather on Sunday, most likely, to for it to be a one score game in the fourth quarter. And then who knows? It's the NFL. Anything can happen. So, but until you see them do that, man, it's not great. Don't feel great about this football team whatsoever. And that's where you look at the Oway trade and say, if things don't get better, then maybe that we view that as more of a sell-off kind of move. And maybe there's a couple more moves like that coming down the pike here over the next month or so.
He's Luke Jones. He will be at the game on Sunday. I would be remiss if I don't take 10 seconds and give my heartfelt condolences to everybody out there involving Wes Henson and Captain Defense. My only story in Captain D, and he's gone, and I can't speak to him, and I wish I could have him on the show, is that I met him in Memorial Stadium very early on. And if you remember, we had the defense signs, and he took my defense sign and attached it to his
His
back.
back. I
He
remember that.
had a plastic, clear plastic piece, and he would stick the defense sign into his back, and it would say defense. And of course, and I don't know if you know this or not, but that was a Baltimore Colts cheer. Defense, defense. Then the chain gang started at the new stadium, and different things that were imported from Colts lore. And by the way, I saw the big wheel at the Colts event last month. So, shout out to the big wheel and to his and the spoke and all of those guys that have been such great fans here. But Captain Defense was, he sort of went beyond fandom or something on the television screen. He was an ambassador at so many bull roasts, community events, Raven's Roost. I was always invited out to speak at Raven's Roost or annual events, and he was always there. He was there for every charity event. And the league's lucky to have fans like that. And I don't know how appreciated these people really are. I know how appreciated I wasn't by Chad Steele and Sashi Brown and these people. Maybe they figure out from the likes and the comments just on my page alone at how beloved Wes was as a figurehead for He was at all of our parties. He rode on our buses to Pittsburgh, to New England. I mean, every message I have with Wes is, are you coming to our party this week? Do you need a ride? Do you want to get on our bus? Do you need a ticket for the game? Like, and I haven't seen Wes in years, and I was taken aback and shocked by his death this week. So, love to everybody that, and everybody touched Wes. Everybody knew Wes, but Captain Defense started to some degree with my signs 30 years ago that said defense on them that were all part of the defense. D. And I don't even know if they do that anymore in the stadium because these jack wagons that run the team are, I don't know what. They're not from here. They don't respect me. They don't respect our fan base. They don't respect my audience. They just, I don't know, but I know Wes got a lot of love from the people
He
in the
did.
way that if I die tomorrow, they're not going to, Chad Steele's not going to put out a little thing and say Nestor covered the team and wrote books about our team. They'll just bury me and put me away. And that's because they hate me. I would hope that that somebody around there would appreciate the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars they're making to realize what fans are and what fans represent. Because I don't smell that out of their organization at all. I smell arrogance everywhere. And Wes was one of the real dudes. And to see the fans and the pop, the people who support the team understand his super fandom, but not just fandom. He wasn't. He was
More
an
than that.
ambassador.
Sure.
He did for that organization what Elrod Hendricks did for the Orioles in a way that John Harbaugh doesn't want to go out and meet fans. Players don't want to go out and meet fans unless you. Justin Tucker wanted 50 grand to show up and shake a hand. So in this modern era, the last remaining remnants of goodwill they have on the street, because they're not getting it from me because they haven't earned it from me. So I don't give it to them because they don't deserve my respect. But in regard to Wes, I he's the last of a breed.
Yeah.
And Tim the
The one.
Barrel Man and people that were super fans of these teams. I don't know how far that's going to go. It's really expensive to be a super fan, I promise you that.
Well, yeah, that's certainly part
Yeah.
of, the modern day. But the word that comes to mind for me, and I had some conversations with him over the years briefly. I didn't know Wes intimately by any stretch of the imagination. But I mean, I was someone who went to games from 1996 through 2010 as a fan, right? You always saw him, right? He was always there. And this sound the word that comes to mind for me, and it sounds funny because you're talking about someone who had such a elaborate outfit and everything, organic, right? I mean, you think about the beginnings of this franchise in Baltimore, being the Browns, coming to Baltimore, being this team, the Ravens, that they weren't the old Browns, they weren't the old Colts, but they were still associated with those two brands or in the early years. Captain Defense was part of building something that was organic. And in this era, and this isn't a Ravens thing, this is an NFL and professional sports thing. So much is overproduced, contrived, social media so over the top, right? All that, right? And put that aside, because this is about Captain Defense and Wes. That organic feeling of community and being excited about your team, to your point. Joining us on bus trips, going to pep rallies and different live shows around town and all that stuff that was such a big part of the first, say, 15 years of this organization, this team in Baltimore. And obviously things have changed in some of those regards. But man, you called it. I mean, an ambassador. And I do know the Ravens are going to hold us, they're calling it a special moment of cheering that they're going to do prior to a defensive series early in the game. They put out a statement recognizing him. But, putting aside the Ravens themselves, and the recognition they should provide, when you see the overflowing number of messages on social media and the number of Ravens fans he touched, that says it all. That says way more than a team president or an owner of a NFL franchise could say. He was part of this community. He was an organic part, especially of those early year Ravens where, you're trying to find whatever your footprint's going to be in a community, and he was absolutely a huge part of that.
Well, you couldn't get a Ravens player out to your Bull Rose, but Captain D would show up for you. And
There you go. Take pictures, all that, right? I mean, who? So many of my friends I know over the years, send a picture with Captain Defense, right? I
I
mean,
found that he died. I was on the tarmac at BWI flying out to Albuquerque for the balloon event. And I held it to my wife. We were literally getting ready to take off. And I went scurrying looking for this one picture, he and I. And I can't believe, dude, I have dozens of pictures of
yeah.
Wes and I. I just don't think I ever put it on Facebook of all things. And I even was looking everywhere to say, did
Yeah.
somebody else put a picture of me and Wes up? Because, but I'm going to honor Wes in my own time when I get back. So yes.
And one other thing I want to mention, because this is important to mention, a Navy veteran and also had been a cancer
Oh.
survivor. So I think let's acknowledge those things as well. In addition to being a super fan and, someone that very important to what the Ravens have become today, this empire, just like any NFL franchise in the modern day. Captain Defense was absolutely a part of that because, it was that sense of community. And like I said, at a time when it felt far more organic in those early years.
Nothing but love for the late, great Wes Henson, Captain Defense. And if you're going to the game on Sunday, it's going to be wet and ugly and awful out there. Honor Captain D and, keep throwing me notes. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. If the team lose, don't MF me after the game. Do that to Luke. He's Luke at WNST.net. Luke will be in the locker room after the game. He is Baltimore Luke. I'm West Coast, East Coast. Going to be back in time for game time on Sunday. Stay dry out there. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.